Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
At Luke chapter 1, and let's start in verse 57, Luke 1:57. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. By the way, that's key. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father. By the way, some believe that not only was Zacharias made speechless, but he was also made deaf when he didn't believe in the temple. Because why would you make signs to somebody that can hear? In verse 62. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt among them. And all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their heart, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant, David." Where we are today is we're at that point where Zacharias had heard 9 months prior. He had heard the voice from Gabriel. Gabriel appeared to him at the right side of the altar. And if you were here last week, we had a picture kind of what that looked like in the most holy place. And if you weren't, well, just to catch you up to speed, there is Zacharias. The lot fell on him to offer incense upon the altar. And there he is, and he's doing his thing, and he's doing it reverently and fearfully before the Lord. And an angel, Gabriel, appears to the right of that altar. And he tells Zacharias, he says, "Listen, now remember, Zacharias and Elizabeth are well in their years. She is barren, and they're up in their years." And he says, "You're going to have a child, and you're to name that child John." Well, Zacharias didn't believe. And he reacted with an emotional reflex, and he was looking at the human logic. He was looking at the human thoughts, and he wasn't paying attention that God can do the impossible. And because he didn't believe, Gabriel struck him mute to where he couldn't talk, and apparently from verse 62, he couldn't hear as well. Now, can you imagine the scene for the 9 months after that? Here's a husband that can't talk, and he can't hear. Man, I don't know who to feel sorry for the most, Elizabeth or Zacharias. And so he gets to this point. It's now the baby has been born, and the baby is 8 days old. And it was customary, in Jewish tradition, it was customary that on the eighth day that the male child was to be circumcised and named on the same day. So now they've gone to the temple. Now imagine this. They live out in the hills in Judea. And they've now gone to the temple. That's quite a journey in and of itself. And they get to the temple, and there they are, and it's time now to do the things of the customs and traditions of the Jewish people. And so the first thing I want you to see is this, and we'll get right into this, is when God grants you mercy, let your friends rejoice with you. When God grants you mercy, let your friends rejoice with you. Now, you got to put yourself in the shoes of somebody that's... I'm getting tickled, but it'll be all right. You got to put yourself in the shoes of somebody that's mute, that's deaf. Put yourself in the shoes of Elizabeth, who is at an older age, who is pregnant, who is going to give birth. Put yourself in the shoes of the priest and all those that were gathered at the temple for this ceremony that they had done perhaps hundreds and hundreds of times. This in here is going to be unique. And so they get there, and there's neighbors and relatives that had come and to be with Elizabeth, And that's quite a journey. I'm sure they stayed with her, and I'm sure they helped her with her journey to the temple. And they get to the temple, and they're all gathered in that temple. And I can just see Zacharias before they left. I can just see what he was thinking. I can just see what Elizabeth was thinking. Elizabeth probably said, "You know what, honey? We've had a lot of fanfare lately. Why do we need all these friends and relatives around us? And it's so hard because I have to explain 100 times why you can't talk. And you can't communicate anyway. It's been really hard to make a living. We don't have a whole lot of money, and I don't feel like I can really feed everybody on the journey." You can see how pessimistic things could have got. And I can just see now, Zacharias, he couldn't even speak for himself. And Zacharias would have had to say something to write on. And then he probably was tired of writing. They didn't have the nice ink pens and pieces of paper like we have today. He probably wrote something. He could have easily wrote something like, "Me no want friends, because me can't talk." He could have wrote something that simple. "Me got to explain myself, and I can't explain myself." And so I can just see the frustration level. But you know what they did? They recognized that God had granted them mercy. Now, Zacharias didn't know when he was going to get his voice back. He had no idea. He didn't know it was going to happen in the temple on that day. And so Zacharias had probably rehearsed in his mind 1,000,000 times, "I am not going to blow it the second time. The second time that God gives me an opportunity to obey him, I'm going to watch out even for the little things, because I was not prepared in that temple for what happened when I met Gabriel. When I met Gabriel, I just refused to believe. I just let my human logic take over. I'm not going to do that anymore. If God gives me one more opportunity, I'm not going to blow it." And so he allowed those friends. She allowed those friends and neighbors. And those neighbors, listen, that's the point right here. The Bible says that they rejoiced with her. Look at verse 57. "Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son." Verse 58, "When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her." There is a great lesson, even for Thanksgiving right there. When God shows mercy to somebody you know, when God is illuminating his word to somebody you know, when God does something wonderful in somebody you know's life, do not get jealous of what God did in their life, because that's sin. Instead, praise God. Rejoice with them for what God has done in their life. It's a great lesson, because stone sharpens stone. We need each other. We need each other. God, that's why, did you know that's why God chooses to do so many things through other people? God could do anything he wants. He didn't have to use people. But God uses people because he loves the love that we show. And when we show compassion and we show love, then what we're doing is we're allowing Jesus Christ to live his life through us. We're his channels. And when he does that, then he is literally glorified in what is happening with these sinful mankind that he redeemed. You see, we, in the fall, we died. But Jesus, he died too for all those that died in the fall. And now he rose from the grave. So we serve a risen Savior, and that's what makes the difference. I want to give you four verses you might want to write down. It's a great way to have a resolve of faith in how you're going to respond, how you're going to do things. The first one is this: choose to love. It's based on John chapter 13, 34 and 35. Choose to love. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." In other words, love people the way Christ loves us. "By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." The second one is this: choose to bless. Choose to bless. I love Luke 6:35 because it's easy to bless those that you know. It's easy to bless those that are already good to you. But here's what he says. It's just the opposite. Luke 6:35, "But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil." What a marvelous verse that is. And then here's another one: choose to encourage. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I believe, by the way, this is what was happening with Elizabeth's friends, that this is the kind of spirit that they had. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then I want to add verse 17 to that, Colossians 3:17, choose gratitude, and in everything give God thanks. Give Him thanks. That changes your mindset and your approach and how you approach things. And so here they are, and they're celebrating with their friends. They're celebrating with their neighbors, and they're allowing them to experience that blessing. That's the first point. But then let's look at the second point. And the second point is obey God in the small things, and He will bless you in the big things. Is that true? Obey God in the small things, and He will bless you in the big things. It certainly is. Look at verse 59. So it was, now 8 days have gone by since the baby has been born. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered, that's Elizabeth, and said, now I want you to look at the arrangement of the language right here. She didn't say, I think we need to call him John. She didn't say, you know, maybe John would be a good idea. She didn't do any of that. She says, no, he shall be called John. Do you know why she was so dogmatic? Now, I think I really know why Zacharias was so dogmatic. She was so dogmatic because she knew that God had already named this child. And you can't rename a child that God has already named. Now, in their custom, it didn't make sense. In their custom, it was natural to name the boy after a patriarch in the family or after the father, typically after the father. Now, today we would say Zacharias Jr. And then if you had another one, Zacharias Jr. Jr. Have another one, Zacharias Jr. 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 No, you don't have to do that, so. But he's saying, and they called and him by the name of his father, Zacharias. In other words, there was no name that was to be after Zacharias. It was to be John. Look at verse 60. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. Now, you got to see something here. Hang on. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. In verse 63, he asked for a writing tablet and wrote saying, and here it is again, very dogmatic, his name is John. So they all marveled. You know what that meant, so they all marveled? Here's what's happening. If you were in that temple on that day, you can just see the priest, and they've got the record book out, and all the officials are gathered in there, and they've got the baby over here, and they've got the man ready to do the circumcision, and they got everything happening just like they'd done many times before, but and nothing going normal. They're expecting the name to be after Zacharias, and so here goes the priest. He's about to record it in the record book, and he stops. And he's like, what? That name don't fit. And then the friends are like, yeah, that don't work. And the relatives are like, that don't work. So they know there's going to have to be a disagreement between mom and dad, because surely mom said his name is John, but dad will kick in and say, no, it's not. It's going to be after me. But dad said, no, his name is John. Now, I can just see this priest struggling to write that name down, because he probably felt like he was offending tradition to write that name down. He probably began to question, is it even right to write that name down? But then I want you to see what happens, and I guarantee you he got excited to write that name down. You see, obey God in the small things, and He will bless you in the big things. Here's a couple of scriptures you might want to write down. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. This is from the parable of the talents. Do this, be faithful in the little. You see, when you're faithful in the little things, God will make you faithful in the big things. But if you're not faithful in the little things, He's not obligated to make you faithful in the bigger things. Why? Because you hadn't learned the lesson in the little things. Why would He want to make you irresponsible in the big things? That's the whole picture. And in Matthew 25, 21, his Lord said to him in the parable, little L on that one, his little L Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Now, it's the big L of the Lord. That's Jesus Christ. And it's enter into the joy of your Lord. By the way, that's repeated twice in that parable. I think it's again in verse 23 that he says, enter into the joy of the Lord. And so the parable, speaking of the master that gave the money, that and some went and buried it in the sand, some invested it, that was the master in the vineyard. That was the master of the bank or the master of the money. And he's giving it out. But that was a picture of the big L, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, don't miss this. When you were born again, when you were saved at 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, 70 years old, 90 years old, 80 years old, 29 years old, 30 years old, God gave you an investment of talents. God gave you an investment of the riches of heaven. God gave you His most precious Son. God gave you a complete and eternal pardon, forgiveness for all of eternity. He gave you His Word. He gave you your spouse. He gave you your family. He gave us a dog named Lucy. God does all these things for us. And so when we get these spiritual riches from heaven, the ability to come before the throne of grace and to pray, the ability to tell somebody about Jesus, the ability to love somebody in the power of Jesus Christ, the ability to forgive somebody in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He gives us all of these things and we go and bury them in the sand, what have we done? We have took His talents. We have took those great privileges and we have squandered them in our life as believers. And God doesn't want us to squander those great privileges. That's one of the things I love about Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. Y'all are some of the most thankful, serving people I've ever met. Always loving on each other. Always serving each other. Some of you have a gift for sending cards and encouragement. Some of you have a gift for doing that on the telephone and just a call or a text. Y'all are just an amazing church. And when somebody is sick or somebody is in the hospital or somebody is down, nobody has to call anybody to make you do anything. You just do it. You just respond as the Holy Spirit manifests it within your heart. And that's what you call being faithful with the little things. Then God will make you faithful with the big. Then there's one more point to that. Not only be faithful in the little, Matthew 25, 21, be faithful in dependence. I just absolutely love this scripture right here. You know, King Solomon went before the Lord when he was made a king over Israel. King Solomon could have asked for anything in the world. He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for long life. He could have asked for a number of things, but you know what he asked for? Here it is. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. Then God said to him, because what did he ask for, by the way? He asked for wisdom. Because you have asked this thing, and not asked for long life for yourself, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Now, don't miss this. This is so powerful. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after you. Now, here's the key right here. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor. And did he ever do that? You see, King Solomon asked for what mattered to the kingdom. He asked for what was important to the kingdom of God. And so what God did is, in essence, you know what, King Solomon? You've been faithful in a little. I'm going to make you faithful with much. We have the book of Ecclesiastes. We have the book of Proverbs. And we have so many different stories because of King Solomon and the wisdom that God gave him and the discernment and the understanding. You see, when we seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. But the flesh wants to turn that around. And the flesh wants us to ask for our wants and needs and wishes. But whenever we get in alignment with God, we begin to ask for what pleases him. And so I believe what happened with Zacharias and Elizabeth is I believe that they knew that God sent those friends to encourage them, and they rejoiced with them too. I believe that they knew we can't blow it this time on the naming of that son, or not right now I can't hear, and right now I can't speak, but I'm liable to not be able to walk if I blow it with this one, because Zacharias didn't know what to expect. And so what happens is, he says, I'm not blowing it. He names the child John, and in the naming of the child John, what would seem insignificant to any of us at the moment was huge to God. It was so big to God that God, listen, God silenced Zechariah not out of a punishment, but out of his own protection. God caused Zacharias to be silent so he wouldn't come out of that temple with a mind and a heart filled with doubt and use his words. Instead of for God's glory, he would have come out of that temple and had said, Elizabeth, I just experienced something in there. I don't know if somebody put this together, if somebody, I don't know what happened in there, but you see what I'm saying? He would have walked out with a doubtful tongue. So when you open your mouth, by the way, that's our third point. When you open your mouth, when God opens your mouth, don't hinder his praise or his word. See the key? When God opens your mouth. When God opens your mouth, don't hinder his praise or his word. There's times that God will give you a word. He'll give you something that you need just for the moment. It may be somebody that's going through a trial, through a very difficult time, and you're trying to pray for them, you're trying to encourage them, and then suddenly God gives you exactly what to say. Have you ever experienced that? I've experienced that. Y'all have experienced that. Suddenly you're witnessing to somebody. And sometimes Satan comes and starts attacking you. He didn't want you to share the gospel. And then all of a sudden you can just feel the Lord giving you a remembrance of scriptures and a remembrance of this and a remembrance of that. And it just starts coming out of you. And you're like, where did that come from? Well, that's how the Holy Spirit works when we depend on him. We're faithful in the little things and we're faithful in our dependence upon God. And look at what happens in Luke 1. Verse 64. I believe that when he finished the last letter in the name John in verse 63, as Zacharias is writing it down, his name is J-O-H-N, that at that moment he felt a voice. At that moment. Because it was at that moment he obeyed the Lord in naming that son John. Had he said, no, I know that's what God said, but God just, he made a little mistake there. We're going to name him Zacharias Jr. I can't imagine. He's like, I'm not going through this again. I'm getting this one right. Now, I want you to see what happens here. Aren't you glad that they allowed others into their life? Look at verse 64. Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God. Praising God. He's using his voice for the glory of God. Then look at verse 65. Then fear, this is the fear of God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them. Can you imagine the stories that left that temple? They had a revival. They had a church service. This wasn't an ordinary 8-day circumcision and naming of a child. This was a revival. This was a worship service. I wonder if all those friends, relatives, and the people in the priesthood, because they'd been kind of quiet lately. I wonder if all of them, how many of them got their heart right with the Lord that day? Walked out of the temple and said, God, I've been going through ritual. I haven't been believing you. I haven't been surrendering to you. I've been burying my talent in the sand. But after this experience, they walk out and they said, you know what, God? You are faithful. You are holy. You are that song, the Amen. That means so be it. We can trust you. And it says, listen to this, and all these sayings, the things that happened, were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. When you and I suffer, Zacharias was suffering. But little did Zacharias know, probably in the first week, in the first month or two, that God was going to use his suffering to do a greater good. When you and I, as children of God, suffer, whether it's any kind of crisis, know this, that you have been bought at a price and you belong to God. And that God has you. And that God has a stewardship over your life. He loves you. He saved you. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that when you suffer, that God knows the end date. God knows the purpose for everything that we experience. We cannot understand it while we're on earth. But in this particular suffering, Zacharias, probably to this day in heaven, says, God, I thank you for the suffering I experienced. I thank you for the silence that I had. I thank you for what you did in my heart, because God, I have found that you are faithful and that you are true and that you don't make any mistakes. That is the Savior that we serve. That's why Romans 8, 28 and 29 talks about that for all things work together for the good to those who love the Lord. And so it's very true. And it all went back out into the hill country. When God opens your mouth, don't hinder his praise or his word. Look at what happens. Look at verse 67. Not only does Zacharias get his speech and hearing back, presumably if verse 62 is speaking of his hearing. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and prophesied. That means preached. He declared the things of God as God put it on him. Look at verse 68. Blessed. It's where we get our word for eulogy. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Do you see faith right here? He is saying it is so, even though it ain't so yet. What he is saying right here, he is saying that God has visited and redeemed his people, that salvation has come, even though he hadn't even died on the cross yet. What he's doing is he is speaking that it is so, even though it ain't so yet. And has raised up a horn of salvation for us. You know why? Because John the Baptist is learning something about, Zacharias is learning something about his small child. He's realizing this is the child spoken of in the prophets. This is the child that I'm having that is in Malachi, that last chapter. This child is preparing the way for the birth of the world's Savior. Can you imagine the gravity of the moment? Can you imagine, as his voice comes back, there stands Elizabeth. The tears are flowing down her cheeks as she's probably holding the little baby John, preparing John to be circumcised. And the tears of compassion are flowing. The joy of her husband prophesying and having his voice back. Everything is being affirmed. Everything is being solidified that God is faithful. Her relatives are rejoicing. I can just see the high priest over there. He's saying, give me my pen back. Give me my pen back. His name shall be J-O-H-N. Put it in the record book. A whole change of attitude. You see, you can trust God with your life. You can trust him right here in the midst of COVID. You can trust him in any crisis that you are encountering, because God is in control of your life, because he owns you. He bought you. Therefore, in response to that, be faithful. I want to give you a verse that you can leave with here. Psalms chapter 19, verse 14. And I love this verse because of a story that is attached to it. In fact, let me look it up. A story attached to it. I did a funeral for a lady here in our church for her mom. And this was a verse that her dad said, and you'll know who you are. And this is a verse that her dad would say at the end of every one of his prayers. And listen to what it says. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. By the way, it's capital R, my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the worship service at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church and Pastor Bruce Rudd. If you've been blessed by this radio ministry, or if you've made a decision for Christ or are in need of prayer, we would love to hear from you at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas. Give us a call, 903-882-3890. Thank you and God bless.